God, teach us to love as you have loved. Amen. We arrived at St. Peter's Church in a remote village in Myanmar after a two-hour trip over dirt roads riding in the back of a converted pickup truck. It was our first Sunday during our month-long immersion. Seven seminarians traveling with an advisor, a priest from the Diocese of Maine, to learn about life as a Christian minority in a communist Buddhist nation. After the lengthy service, the sermon was only 2 hours long. We set off with personal interpreters to each meet a different family from the congregation to hear directly from them more about their lives. My translators were two students from the local Bible college. They showed me the way to the home of an elder of the community. When we arrived, her 4-foot stooped form was sweeping the porch of her bamboo home using a broom fashioned itself from bamboo and banana leaves. She smiled a wide, toothless grin when she saw us approaching and then disappeared into the one-room hut. During my hour-long visit, over 30 members of her extended family arrived, so many that they couldn't fit in this one room and were peering in through windows and doorways and cracks in the exterior. She had made tea and a mountain of cookies for us. I knew I wasn't supposed to drink the water, but I also knew better than to refuse this generous hospitality. I tried to learn more about her family, but it was difficult because she was so curious about mine. Thankfully, I had a photo album with me with pictures of my family. And every time I would try to ask a question of another family member, they looked to her as the senior member of the household. She was the one conducting this meeting. I eventually learned that she was only 74 years old. But she looked much older and was the oldest woman in their community. They had been Christians for her entire lifetime, and because of that, her sons who worked for the government had been denied promotions and raises because they would have to convert to the state-approved religion of Buddhism. They refused. As we walked away from her home, my translators explained that it was actually very dangerous for her to talk to me at all. If they were considered to be spreading rumors about the government to outsiders, they could be jailed or worse. I also learned that the tea and cookies provided during our visit, which none of the family members even touched, it was all for the translators and myself. That was the family's meal budget for the next 3 weeks. Hospitality is how we show God's love. In today's gospel passage, the Pharisees are trying to trip up Jesus with their questioning. Jesus answers their challenge by quoting Deuteronomy and Leviticus as he reminds them that the most important commandments we are called to follow are to love God and love our neighbors. But what does it actually mean to love God or to love our neighbors as ourselves? Love is a word that we throw around in our society. You tune into the radio and you'll hear 30 songs in a row all talking about love. We say that we love sushi or we love that television program. So really, when we boil it down, what are we talking about in this context? We reduce these commandments often down into a directive towards self-esteem. Preachers, myself included, have preached that we must first love ourselves, and then we can love others as we love ourselves. But this is not an accurate translation. When this was written, love was not being used to mean a mushy-gushy feeling. Love was quite literally a verb. Agapeses, which roughly translates to "you shall be loving," is the word that is used for both of these commandments. You shall be loving to God. You shall be loving to your neighbor. And agape itself is the strongest of the four words for love that are available to us in the Greek language. They start from the very smallest and raise up to this word for love, which is self-sacrificial. That means giving of one's whole self in order to communicate the feeling beneath it. This is the love that God feels for each and every one of us. We are called to this unimaginable, self-sacrificing love. We are called to love which bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We are called to this love that never ends. And it's a love that's shown through action. This is the love that God showed through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. It's a love that begs the question, am I really doing all within my power to be the hands of Christ for all of the people I encounter? Every time that we ensure that we have a warm meal, a roof over our heads, clean water to drink, and all of the other basic survival elements we need to survive in this world, we're showing that love to ourselves, and we're setting the standard for the love we are obligated by our faith to show to others. 2 weeks ago, when Gene Robinson preached here, he said that each time we write our pledge checks, we should feel a lump in our stomach. The amount should be enough that it causes pause and forces us to trust that God will provide. This is the same thing, my friends. Agape love requires the same in all circumstances. There's a difference between the self-sacrifice of volunteering a couple hours at the soup kitchen once a year and working all year long through policy and work and volunteering to ensure that the poor in our communities don't go hungry for a single meal. Agape love is a spiritual practice. And it requires our best selves and promises to return even better selves by virtue of the experience that loving so deeply provides. When we returned to the village church after our visits with the families in the village, we shared a meal and a game of soccer with the kids before we loaded back into the back of that pickup truck to head to the local market for some shopping. Once we got on the truck and started on our way, though, we learned that we wouldn't be going to the market. We would be driving straight back to Yangon as quickly as possible. You see, shortly after we headed into the village to meet with those families, the parish priest and our advisor were detained by the military police. A member of the village had run and alerted police at a local check station that the church had brought Americans to the community to convert some of the Burmese citizens away from the state-approved religion and to spread news to Western media. The police had tried to confiscate our passports, but our advisor had been wise enough to leave them at the hotel and only travel with photocopies. The parish priest was not released from custody until we were clear of the third checkpoint away from the village. We've been assured by the priest there that none of the families in the village have experienced more harassment than usual after we departed. But that really isn't saying much. I was left with a nagging thought. When have I ever loved God or my neighbor in such a profound way? A family risked their safety to share their faith with me. They sacrifice a more comfortable lifestyle on a daily basis in order to show their love to God. And they sacrificed food for their family in order to offer hospitality to a stranger in their midst. Now, evangelism is a big word that we are frightened to use because of the way it's been hijacked in our society. But on that day, in the jungle in Myanmar, I met a family of evangelists who never go around their communities and shout the name of Jesus or threaten others for believing differently than they do. Instead, they quietly go about their simple lives, working each day, attending church as a family, and showing hospitality to friends and strangers alike. Today's gospel teaches us that we are called to be evangelists. each and every day in our thoughts, words, and deeds, in the love we enjoy and in the love we share. Because after all, my friends, they will know that we're Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they will know we are Christians by our love. Amen.